today on Real Radio.
Jesus says regarding the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, he says, ask. God help us if we wake up every morning and start our day without asking God for his power. Who are we to live this life without the power of God? No, we need his power.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry was like no other prophet in biblical history. He not only foretold the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but his prophecies regarding the nation of Israel, well, they were beyond scope, some reaching as far as the second coming of Christ and his 1,000-year reign here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 43, we learned that God's ultimate plan for the nation of Israel is to gather the Jews back to their homeland. This return is a witness to the way God keeps his promises. The Lord's passion for his people shows us how he is still at work in their lives, sending a powerful message to the world that he is still in control. So today, on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 44, Pastor Jack tells us that it's the Holy Spirit who puts his seal upon us at the moment of salvation. The Holy Spirit also commissions us for service. But it's actually Jesus Christ himself who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And now continuing his lesson called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 18 at the end, but rather be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. How is this done? By the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. I'm still going to answer Joel and your question, but wasn't this fulfilled in the book of Acts? Hang on. In Luke chapter 11, don't miss this. This is key. In Luke 11, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And in verse 9, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds or seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Look at verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? What do you think the answer to that is? No. If a kid's hungry, you're not going to give him a rock to chew on. You're going to give him some bread. If any father among you will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Messed that one up. Verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, listen, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, what?
Ask.
Notice who he said this to. He said this to believers. When Jesus had been resurrected from the dead in John's Gospel chapter 20, the disciples were assembled together alone without Christ, and Christ, Jesus appears to them. And when they're assembled together, Jesus breathes on them. He blows. It says he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Listen, in that moment, many of you heard this before. If you were ever asked a question in your theology course, where was the first recorded event of someone being born again? It's not the thief on the cross, though he was saved. The first born again experience was in John chapter 20 when Jesus breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Spirit of God came inside of them at that moment. Every believer since John 20, when they receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of them. And that's the regeneration work of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that are going on in that moment. One of them is the Bible makes it clear that the believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Book of Ephesians talks about that. Ephesians announces that to be so, that we are in the body of Christ now. The Holy Spirit has stamped us into the body of Christ. The Puritans used to say that the Holy Spirit's sealing is the birthmark of the believer. Okay, the moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in you. What I've been reading you a moment ago has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. It has everything with the Holy Spirit coming upon you, completely different. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is announcing that the Spirit of God is going to propel them to the ends of the earth. They'll be witnesses, but you got to wait for him to come. Power. They were believers assembled. But the manifestation that the Holy Spirit came upon them, the word in the Greek is epi. He came upon those who the Spirit dwelt within already. Are you with me? Listen, watch it. Watch this way. The Holy Spirit is always alongside the world, convicting the world of sin, telling the world of its wrong. Disney portrayed it as Jiminy Cricket, telling Pinocchio all of his wrong. Remember that? All of this stuff. Think about that. The Holy Spirit is telling people always, convicting them of their sins. When you become a believer, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that the Spirit of God baptizes us into the body of Christ. The Spirit of God does that. The Holy Spirit does that. He does it. And you're a believer, you're a Christian, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. By the way, only someone who is sealed can backslide. Now, don't raise your hand, but are you a backslidden Christian here tonight? Well, the only way you can be a backslidden Christian is if you're saved. Oh, Pastor, that's encouraging. Well, I'm not done yet. Stop whatever you're doing, stop it. You're only hurting yourself. Listen, we need you. We need you to get right with God. We need you. You are part of the body of Christ. Stop messing around. We need you. Let's go. Let's get up and let's go. There's a war to win. There's a fight to fight. There's a coming of Christ to get ready for. You cannot backslide unless you've fallen forward. And you can't backslide unless you've gone forward. You've got to belong to Christ if you backslide. Just don't stay there. That's true because you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. But when God wants to use you, when God wants to propel you up out of the pew and into the scene, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you read a moment ago how the Spirit of God came upon the believers and they got up and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Don't you want to speak the word of God with boldness? I want to speak the word. We all want to speak the word of God with boldness. Jesus says, well, this is how it's going to happen. Ask. Ask. Do you remember how you accepted Christ? Yes. Lord, come into my life. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus says, regarding the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, he says, ask. God help us if we wake up every morning and start our day without asking God for his power. Who are we to live this life without the power of God? No, we need his power. Listen very quickly. The Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, seals us into the family of God. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit found in the book of Acts that commissions us to the work. But listen, it is Jesus Christ himself who baptizes the believer with the Holy Spirit. Did you get that, everybody? The Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, the church, but it's Christ who baptizes the believer with the Holy Spirit for service. That's comforting. I like that. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, I'll read the Amplified version. Philippians 2, 12 says, therefore, my beloved friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, says the Apostle Paul, but even more so now that I am absent, work out, make every effort to show the results of your own salvation with a deep sense of reverence and awe. For it is God, that is the Holy Spirit, who is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I would add, so cooperate with him. That's what God is saying to us. And again, John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, listen to this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the first time I ever read that, did you have this experience as I did? If you love me, keep my commandments. And I felt like my heart was taken right out of it. It says, oh, I'm going to quit. You, can someone say yes to the universe? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, yes, Jesus, I love you, I love you. Keep my commandments. Oh. I've tried that. I can't even get out of the blocks. Well, thank God. Listen, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Isn't that great? That he may abide with you how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Do you remember? Alongside you. Parakletos, alongside. The Comforter who is alongside you. And he will be in you. That's John 20. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. Jesus Christ, you know Jesus Christ in your life only by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to know Jesus. You ask the kids across the courtyard, where's Jesus? Some will point up this way and some will point this way. And both directions are correct for the kids. Jesus Christ is in your heart because the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart. And the Holy Spirit's representing the kingdom of Christ. And when he wants you to do something, listen, it's not by your power. Christian, this is a great thing about who we get to be. God calls us to do things, and he never said, now, Jack or Fred, roll up your sleeves, you work at it, and you go out there and save the world. When you get tired, you know, drink some Gatorade and... No. God desires and wants you and I to right now just absolutely ask him, Lord, bring your power upon me to use me however you want to use me. Amen. You know, as I get older, this is going to sound probably bad, but I think as I get older, my prayers are getting shorter. Does that make some sense? It's like, number one, I'm older, so let's get to the point, God. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be around. Number two, as you get older, you and God are no longer into the fluff. Remember, Jesus says, watch out for those who, when they pray, they think they're going to be heard because they have a lot of words. Remember that? Listen, God knows what's in your heart. Tell him. And I have just found that, listen, my communication with him in an audible type of sending a text or an email to God, as it were, is short, but now more often. It's just walking through the day, going through the night with this constant connection, this thank God. No dropped calls with God, no Wi-Fi, but him. Because the Spirit of God is inside the believer. Immediate, constant, always connected. The Holy Spirit goes to work by increasing our awareness to our spiritual environment. It's interesting, just before service tonight, I was talking to Pastor Shadrach, and they were on vacation, and they came out of Wyoming and Montana. And he said, as soon as they came into the LA basin, they could feel a spiritual oppression in this part of the world. And he said, man, we didn't feel it in those other parts. And that's absolutely true. You know, listen, you guys are amazing. Look at all of you are here on a Wednesday night in Southern California, which goes by another name. You're here on a Wednesday night and you live in Babylon. I want you to think about where you live, and you're in church tonight. We live in one of the most blatant flesh pots on the planet. And you're at church tonight. You could be out doing sex, drugs, rock and roll, and whatever else has been invented of late, but you're not. You're here. If you can be a Christian in Southern California, I think you can be a Christian anywhere. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the Christians in Wyoming or Montana, but come down here where it's... In fact, what... It's almost like we walk around here, we bump into Satan or his lieutenants or colonels, you know. Just, you want to meet a devil, just go walk down the street. But right before the worship team came out, they were grabbing their, this may be too much information for you, but very often when they go to grab their guitars and stuff, I'm standing back there, and I just like I told them tonight, and I said to them, listen, get on out there and kill some dragons. Kill some dragons. I often tell them that. Get out there. When you sing, I want you to slay some demons. When you're drumming, I want you to be just killing devils. Why? First of all, listen, the worship, God's people worshiping God, I think it puts the enemy to flight. You ever prone to depression? You ever prone to being sorrowful? You ever prone? Listen, I know it's tough, but you got to break away. Put on some praise music. Praise music. Okay, not Christian rock. I mean, that's, but praise music. where it's God-honoring words and you're like, you know, going, I mean, so for me, it's like Keith Green, Marty Goetz. I love that kind of stuff. But for you, find your thing. It could be Phil Wickham, awesome, love him, that kind of stuff. But just let, and you know what? When you're bummed and you start singing that and you start letting that happen, you know what? It puts the enemy to flight. Try that. It's cheaper than a pill, ladies and gentlemen. It lasts forever. The Holy Spirit goes to work by communicating to us deeper things, the deeper things of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job, according to Jesus, to teach us the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that goes to work by prompting you and I in our need to pray. The Spirit of God does that, to pray. And the Holy Spirit prays in giving us assistance. Did you know Jesus said that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us? Listen to this. Jesus says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit is talking to the Father for us. And then Jesus said, I will intercede for you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. The Father is in heaven waiting to hear from the Holy Spirit and from his Son regarding you. The deck is stacked in your favor. Think of that. Oh, but I don't know. Prayer sometimes. Prayer rarely for me is easy. Now, I just talked about the communication that's open. But when there's the shutting down of things and you go to pray, it's not easy. Prayer's hard work. And it's not hard work because God makes it hard work. It's hard work because my flesh screams when I pray. Do you know what I mean? I can choose a time to pray. I can find a place to pray. I can just shut down and say, Lord, it's just you and I right now. And it's almost as though my skin starts to crawl. It's like, come on, we got to do something. Like what? I don't know, something. No, we're going to sit here right now. We're going to sit here and talk to God. But I want to do something. Like a spoiled brat, your flesh. And then, Lord, and your Lord God, just speak to me, God. And you're like this, Father, just tell me what's on your heart. What do you want to share with me? When's the last time I changed the oil in my car? Wait, I don't change the oil in my car. You know what I'm saying? Did I leave the stove on? Wait, I don't cook. Do you know what I'm talking about? It makes no sense. You know you're entering into battle when that starts to happen. And then as you progress into battle, the enemy will up the attack. When you start praying for someone's soul, like for example, you're praying for your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, and you're praying for them, then things start happening. You know when you're praying right when you get opposition. And thank God, the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, with groanings which cannot be articulated. Have you ever been in prayer to the point where the Holy Spirit, you're praying and it feels like you just can't get through? And there's that just that deep gut lamentation. And it's like, oh, Lord, oh, you just don't know. When someone is for example, crying or praying out to God under a deep burden, according to Jesus, according to the Bible, according to Paul, the Holy Spirit takes over and intercedes for us. Here's your homework. Later tonight or tomorrow, it is absolutely essential that when we pray, that we understand that we're connecting with heaven. And church, listen, for those of you who don't know, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 14, and you read that carefully. Because for every believer, there's the ability to pray in the Spirit while you're alone with God. And in that time of praying in the Spirit, in 5 minutes, you'll make a connection with God and you'll know that you've had progress with God up against an hour of praying in English, for example, or in your native tongue. And I'm not talking about the gift of tongues. Read your Bible carefully. The gift of tongues is a public event and it must be interpreted in a gathering of believers. I am not talking about that. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Every believer has the ability to pray in the Spirit. And Paul breaks it down beautifully. That's your homework tonight, because Paul says when he's alone, he prays to God and his Spirit prays and he doesn't understand what he's saying. Nobody's there. There's no interpreter needed. Nobody's listening. Nobody's watching. He's alone. And if you'd like to go read that and you'd like to cry out to God, you go do that privately. Again, it has nothing to do with a gift. It's not a gift. Every believer can pray in the Spirit. How does that happen? The very one who dwells inside of you knows exactly what the Father's will is and exactly what your heart is all about. He's the only one. He's the only one that can say in that moment, Father, here's the deal. Jack is this way, that way, upside down, inside out, blah, blah, blah. This is the thing that's bothering him, the Holy Spirit. And in, I'm telling you, 5 minutes of praying like that, you watch what happens. You watch. And again, I am not talking about the gift of tongues, and I'm not talking about public. I'm talking about alone time. Very important. The Holy Spirit does this. But the Holy Spirit is there for our assistance in this walk. And God says to the people of Israel in the future, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. This is yet in the future. That has never happened in Israel. There's no record of it. There's no history of it. Wouldn't you think that such a profound announcement in the book of Joel and repeated in the book of Acts, that it would have happened to the nation of Israel? Don't you think it would have been written down somewhere? It's never happened. You want to know why? It's not supposed to happen. Not yet. It's going to happen during that 7-year tribulation period of time when God, listen, the Holy Spirit delivers the church up into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ like we learned on Sunday, and then the Spirit of God is poured out upon Israel. You're going to have 144,000, what does it say in the book of Revelation? 144,000 virgin, Hebrew speaking men filled with the Holy Spirit. 12,000 from each tribe, preaching. They're going to make Billy Graham look like he was sleeping. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having 144,000 Paul the Apostles with the internet? Boom! Can you imagine they're going to be with, think about it. I know in our minds we think that they're going to be walking around with sandals and robes, you know, and a staff. Like they're from 2,000 years ago. They're gonna be preaching the gospel. They're gonna be on the streets, it says. They're gonna be all over the globe preaching. There are 144,000 everywhere. Jews, virgin men, Hebrew speaking, full of the Spirit, sanctified, sacred to God. He's gonna use them. Start reading in Revelation and start at chapter 7. These guys are gonna be amazing. And they're going to thwart, they're going to upset the Antichrist and his kingdom. Oh, it's good. You ain't seen nothing. All the news, nothing compares to what's coming. These guys are going to disrupt. And you think about it. They're preaching the gospel and they're going to be disrupting the one world order. Look how upset the one world order is right now with us just being here tonight. You're the one. You're the one that's messing everything up. You right there. You. All of you. All yous. We're the problem. Do you know that? We're the problem to the world community because we bow to a king. We're monarchists. That's what we are. We're monarchists. We believe in a ruling, reigning king. His name's Jesus, and we're waiting for him to come back. We belong to his kingdom.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a message called His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. And our hope for you is that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. His Spirit is Our Hope, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.